Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. Today you find us in a series called Ancient Wisdom. Every day we have many decisions to make. At each crossroads, we can try things on our own and lean into our own wisdom, or look to God for what He might say. When we try to do things on our own, it tends to not go very well. When we follow God's wisdom, we find that the path is true and good. We'll talk more about how this plays out in life during the month of June. Follow along and we hope you enjoy this message.
Hey guys, if you guys don't know who I am, my name is Ben. I am new this summer, so if you haven't been around this summer and this is your first time seeing me, hello. I recognize some faces in here, but if I don't know you, I'll be hanging around after and I would love to meet you. Just a little bit about who I am. I currently go to Clemson. I've got one more semester. Do you have any Clemson Tiger fans in here? No Clemson fans. I got one in the back. A couple? Okay, awesome. I've got one more semester. I love to be outside. I love to make coffee and drink coffee. Does anybody drink coffee in here? I know you guys are in middle school. Really? Wow. Wow, that's crazy. I thought coffee was disgusting when I was in middle school, but now I love it, so, you know, it's okay. So I love to be outside, love to go hiking and climbing. I know we've got a picture of me and one of my friends. This is my friend Ty. We were roommates freshman year at Clemson. We're on a hike in this picture, and those big things on our backs are called crash pads. They kind of break our fall when we fall. I love my family. I've got a picture of them up here. I've got my mom, who actually is sitting in the back corner. Everybody turn around and say, hey, Mom.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, Mom.
Hey,
and then that's me, and then my girlfriend next to me, and then my dad on the far right. I guess you guys is right. I love being around my friends. I don't know if I said this, I'm an intern this summer. That's why I'm here. I love being around my friends and love doing things with them, love laughing and just kind of having a good time. I'm going to kind of tell you all a little story about being around friends in middle school and how it sometimes didn't go so well, sometimes it went great. So in my middle school, we had a no phone policy. I don't know if, do you guys have a no phone policy at school? I know you guys are out of school right now, but yeah, no phone policy? Yeah, okay. No phone? Hey, that's good for you though. I had like an iPod in middle school, and so that was like considered a phone by our school. And so this one time, I had this bright idea to try to bring my DS to our school. Does anybody know what a DS is?
Yes.
Yeah, so it was like our version of a Nintendo Switch, pretty much. And so it was like me and my friends decided that I would bring my DS to school because it said no phones in the rule book. So I was like, oh, this is gonna be a great idea. I can play games, I can play Mario during lunch, so nobody's gonna have a problem with it. It's gonna be fantastic. And they were like, yeah, man, do it. It's gonna be awesome. I remember getting to school and I was like, oh, this is gonna be awesome. I'm gonna bring my DS. And I pull out at lunch and I'm playing my games, got my friends watching me. And then I see one of the teachers come from like over here and I'm like kind of not really paying attention to her. I see her, but I'm like, hopefully she goes away and I don't get this DS taken. Sure enough, she walks over. I'm like sitting right here. She like walks over and is like kind of peeking over my shoulder and like not really saying anything. And I like look up and she's like, you can't have that. I'm like, what do you mean I can't have it? It's not a phone or anything. And she's like, yeah, but it's technology. And I say, what do you mean? It's not a phone. In the rule book, it says no phones. And she's like, I don't care. I'm going to take it. And so she takes my DS and she takes it to the office. And she tells me that I can go back at the end of the day and get it back. But I forget, and I never see that DS ever again. I remember being very upset and talking to my friends about it for the rest of the day. I was like, guys, can you believe this teacher took my DS? I still am a little upset about it, but it's okay. And so this was just kind of an example of me wanting to have fun with my friends, wanting to fit in with them, and just to have everybody, like, you know, have a good time. And this was just one example, but this happened throughout middle school, not just with technology or DSs or things like that, but I wanted so bad to fit in with everybody around me. I don't know if you guys feel that way. I wasn't very happy or satisfied with who I was and what I was doing because I was always trying to do the next thing to fit in with everybody else around me. And this led me to have a poor reputation because all the people that I was hanging out with weren't doing good things. They weren't really, they didn't really know who Jesus was. And so I kind of didn't know who Jesus was at the time. And so I had a poor reputation by association. So basically, I had a poor reputation because of who I was hanging out with. And have you guys ever heard of the saying, you are who you hang out with? Yeah? No? It's okay if you haven't. So I kind of heard this when I was growing up, and I didn't really think anything of it. I kind of disagreed with it at the time. I was like, what do you mean I am who I hang out with? I'm me. How can I be anybody else if I'm just me? But I have a little illustration of kind of what this means and like the deeper meaning behind it. So I didn't come up with this. A lot of smarter people than me came up with this who study psychology came up with this. And so it's called the circle of relationships, or the circle of influence, as I like to call it. And so basically, the people closest to us, we are the purple dot. So that's us at the bottom. And then like it's our family or who we live in our house with, whoever that is. And then it's our friends and some relatives. And so I kind of like to place friends and family in the same circle because I feel like you guys are getting to the point in your life where you guys are spending probably most of your time with your friends, either at school or just outside and things like that. So this kind of echoes, you are who you hang out with. And so if you hang out with good people, you will likely be a good person. And if you hang out with bad people, you'll likely be a bad person or make bad decisions. And this isn't some idea that I just came up with, or like it isn't something that Dallas told me to say, but it's actually in Scripture, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles, y'all can go and flip to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to be reading from there. We're going to begin in verse 29. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 29 through 34. And it says, otherwise, what do people mean by being baptized on behalf of the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized on their behalf? Why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. So that's kind of a lot, I think. And I really want to focus in on verse 33. But before I do that, I am going to give us some context here. So Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. Corinth is just a place. It's just like a location. And so Paul is writing to them because they are having problems. They're having issues and debates among themselves and with others. They had problems with division, with misunderstandings of how to eat certain foods and like what to eat. They had problems with gathering as a church, had problems or had wrong ideas about the resurrection of Jesus and his followers. And Paul talks about all these issues throughout his first letter to the Corinthians. But where we pick up in chapter 15, which is the second to last chapter, this chapter is mainly about the resurrection of Jesus and his followers, and how that is everything and essential to our faith. And many people in Corinth thought there was no resurrection. And when I say resurrection, I really just mean life after death. And so many people in that church and in that area thought there was no life after death. And so Paul here, and in this, the rest of this chapter, says how wrong that could be, and how the resurrection changes everything and it affects everything that Paul is talking about in this whole letter to the Corinthians, first and second. The resurrection is our source of power for us. It is our reason for unity as a people and as a body of Christ. It is our power to love others more than ourselves, and it is our victory over sin and death. And Paul actually goes on to say, or earlier in the chapter, he says that our faith is meaningless without the resurrection. And so in verses 16 and 17, Paul says, if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. So basically what Paul is saying here is that if there is no resurrection, then our faith is meaningless. It is pointless. It is everything that Jesus said he was a lie. But we know that Jesus was resurrected, and that is good news for us. And so, like I said, the Corinthians are struggling with this idea of the resurrection, of believing if it is real and having disputes about it. And Paul here kind of contradicts those contradictions, if that makes sense. He is telling them that there is a resurrection, and that Jesus did, in fact, rise from the dead. Ooh, spooky. And so why do you guys think, I'm going to ask a question, and so I just want like a maybe one or two answers. Why do you guys think the Corinthians are having these struggles? Why are they struggling to believe that there is a resurrection or not? Just like one answer. Don't worry about being right or wrong, because I'm going to tell you all the answer anyway, so. Anybody? They didn't see it? Yeah, that's a good answer. Thanks, Mom. Yeah, maybe they didn't see it. So maybe they're like, what happened? I wasn't there. I didn't see it. Which that's probably somewhat accurate. But I would argue that it is because of who they were hanging out with, of these people who didn't believe in the resurrection. The people who were running the church in Corinth were hanging out with them, and those people were having a negative impact on their faith, on their beliefs, and on their behaviors. And as a little side note, I don't know if some of your Bibles capitalize things quoted from the Old Testament, but this Bible doesn't. But Paul, when he says bad company corrupts good morals, that he isn't quoting from the Old Testament, or he isn't quoting from something that he already said. He's actually quoting from a play that was written by somebody who didn't believe in God, who wasn't a believer in Jesus. But this saying was still true. And so, just an encouragement, Paul, with the help of the Holy Spirit, did not have a problem quoting an unbeliever who told the truth at a particular point. And so, when you guys kind of go into life as believers, there are going to be people who don't believe in Jesus, but they still say some true things. And so it's just a reminder to not shut everything out that everybody else tells you if they are not believers. Like sometimes there is truth and true sayings that people do say. And so going back to this bad company and these bad influences, they can also corrupt more than our behaviors. It can corrupt our hearts and our minds. And throughout Scripture, you might have heard the term heart used in Scripture. And so our heart is being used and referred to as the very thing that guides who we are. It guides our thinking, our words, actions, and beliefs. So essentially, our heart is everything. And Paul is telling the Corinthians that this bad company can corrupt their heart. It can corrupt all aspects of their life. And I'm going to ask you guys just to reflect on if you have had some bad company in your life and how that has affected your spiritual life, but also just like your life in general. And so that's just a reflection. So going back to my story about how I had some friends who did not lead me in the right direction. They corrupted me, and it made it hard to follow the Lord. It's because I was hearing all of these worldly aspirations and worldly goals that my friends had at the time, and I wanted to fit in with them so badly that I took on those same desires. And so when the Lord finally came into my life and when I started to follow him, the only logical thing I could think of was to shut everybody else out that didn't believe in God. And that, I don't recommend doing that. It left me lonely and very lost and feeling like I was just by myself and everything. And so I want to pull up the circle of influence or circle of relationships one more time and just kind of reemphasize that I do not want you guys to just cut everybody off who is a believer, or who is an unbeliever, sorry. Paul and Scripture say that your closest friends should be believers because it is by them that we are strengthened and encouraged, and it is by them that we are lifted up in the Spirit. And the unbelievers still need friends to point them to Jesus. So I'm saying that our closest friends should be believers. They should be uplifting and encouraging to you guys, and somebody who you can be vulnerable with, and somebody who you can bring your problems with, and things like that. But like I said, the unbelievers still need friends to point them to the gospel and to love them while they are still in their sin, because that's what Jesus does for us. Romans 5:8 says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we as believers should befriend unbelievers to point them to that truth and to love them in or while they are still sinners. But we should also not let the unbeliever shape our hearts or our minds. We must let the word of God do that. Romans 12:2, if you guys want to flip there, it says, "Do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing," do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we must let the word of God shape our thinking, our hearts, and our friendships. And actually, the Lord tells us that we will be blessed if we do this, if we let the word of God shape our friendships and our hearts and our minds, especially if we walk in the counsel of the wise. And so if our friends are wise and if our friends encourage us in the Lord, then we will be blessed. And Psalm 1 talks about this. It said, "Blessed is the man who walks in the who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." So, basically, that's just basically saying that the Lord will bless those who walk in the counsel of the wise and have delight in him. Or in other words, the Lord will bless those who have righteous and wise friends. And so to kind of wrap up what we've talked about, we've talked about how to follow God's wisdom when choosing your friends. And this is important for you guys now because you are getting to the point in your life and getting to the age where you are able to choose who you hang out with. You don't have to always hang out with your classmates. You don't always have to hang out with your parents, friends, kids that come over, and things like that. And it's important for you to have those around you who will lift you up and encourage you in the Lord. Otherwise, you may end up like me when I was in middle school, making poor decisions in bad company, lonely, and not knowing what to do. But the good news is that the Lord gives us encouragement and tells us what to do in these scenarios through Scripture. And so, like I said, those closest to us have the most influence on us. So it is wise, as the Lord says, for those people to be good and wise, so you can be strengthened and lifted up spiritually. So what do we do with all this? Paul tells us at the end of his chapter 15, verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." And sometimes this labor can be discerning if your friends are good for you or if they are not. And it can be hard to find good friends. But there's also good news, and that is that the Lord will place these people in your life if you ask. I don't know if we have a saying around here. I don't know if you guys have heard it. It's, if you ask, you will get. If you ask, you will get. That's, I don't know, Tyler says that sometimes, if you guys know who Tyler is. And there's another passage. It's not going to be up here. I'm not going to read it. I encourage you guys to go read it for yourselves. It's 1 Peter 5:8. And basically, it just says that in all things, be self-controlled. And that includes choosing our friends and who we hang out with. And we do not, and also we have encouragement and support when we go through hard times if our friends are good and uplift us. And so if you're going through something that is difficult, if your friends are good and wise, they will encourage you in those times and they will actually walk with you and struggle with you through those hard times. And so if we want to pull up those, oh yeah, there it is. If we want to pull up the three kind of main applications I've got, it says, stand firm against those who corrupt your walk with Christ. That does not mean just totally abandon them. It means try to not conform to what they hold valuable, to what the world holds valuable. I'm going to skip down to number three. I'll come back to number two. But it says, be intentional about who you spend your time with. And so, like I said, with the circle of relationships and the circle of influence, those who are closest to us have the most influence on us. And so we want to make sure that those who we spend our most time with are wise and who encourage us and lift us up. And then finally, we can look to Jesus as and his disciples as an example of what good friendship looks like. So Jesus had his 12 disciples. And that's who he spent most of his time with. He called them out from what they were previously doing to follow him. And he had his 12, but he also had his three. And something that somebody really wise told me one time was that really, really pour into the three. And does anybody know who those three, like, really close disciples were? It's okay if you don't. Yeah, Peter, James, and John. Awesome. I know it's kind of, well, it's not early. It's almost noon o'clock. It's almost noon. Noon o'clock. yeah, but he also had the three. And so I would say that the goal is to not have the most friends, but it's to have those few friends that you can really, really count on. That those friends who are real, authentic, vulnerable, and encouraging to you and you to them. And as a last piece of encouragement before I pray and then we do some discussion questions, this can be challenging. Guys, this can be really hard to analyze your friends to see if they're actually good for you. It can be pretty difficult, and so we just want to let you know that you are not alone in that, that us leaders can walk with you through that. We can be an ear to listen to you if you are having questions about your friends. We would love to talk to you about that. And yeah, and so I am going to pray, and then we're going to break out into some discussion groups for some discussion questions, and then you guys are going to be free to go. And so let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your wisdom in all things. We thank you that your word can guide our hearts closer to you. God, bless our friendships and help them glorify you. Lord, we love you and we need you. And it's in your son's name, amen.